Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jason, good morning to you. How's everything?
I'm doing well. Hope you guys are doing the same.
We are. Kind of, it's still in the aftermath of this Steelers season.
Sure.
Is Derek Carr in play for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Or like, who are the real true names as a Steelers quarterback to start the season next year?
I think, first of all, it depends on who the next GM of the Las Vegas Raiders is, what his background is, what he thinks, or she, thinks of this draft class at quarterback, what they think of the salary cap situation, what they think of the overall talent on the team, and perhaps most importantly, what they think of the void that's left there by the lack of success from John Gruden and Mike Mayock's top picks. And would someone look at that situation and say, I know you just got to the playoffs, Mark, but you're at the end of a five-year cycle that didn't bear enough fruit. And if it's about doing more than winning nine games, I need more draft capital. And I'm looking at this roster, right? And the only way to get more draft capital is to trade the 30-something quarterback.
So if the Steelers want to look elsewhere than Mason Rudolph, or simply want to add someone to the mix with Rudolph, Haskins, Dobbs, whoever happens to be in the quarterback room going into camp next year, is it make more sense to avoid the trade route because those are the names that maybe you're not willing to deal resources for? Is there a free agent out there?
I don't know how many are really going to get dealt, guys, at the end of the day. You know, like, Aaron Rodgers seems to be having quite a kumbaya moment there with, you know, Goody and Murphy and the gang. So I don't know about that one. I think he's coming to find the grass isn't always greener somewhere else, and these fans accept me for who I am. And, you know, I win 13, 14 games here every year and pretty much have a chance to compete for the right to go to the Super Bowl, and I am near the end. And, hey, Jordan Love stinks, so I don't have to worry about that. So I think, if I was a betting man, I would bet on them coming up with a new contract there.
Hey, Jason, go ahead.
I was just going to say Russell Wilson. I don't see Sierra in Pittsburgh, guys. I just don't. I don't think Russ does. I don't think anybody close to Russ does. So I think that would be a tough sell. I don't see these guys. The Deshaun Watson thing, you know what I mean? Like, if they hire Brian Flores there, who's to say he's – or some other coach who can connect with him, who's to say that he's dealt? And I don't know that the Steelers are the team that goes out there on a limb, especially if he's dealt in 6 weeks from now and the league year opens and there's still questions about him. I don't know that they're the team to do it. So I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know that that market is going to be what it is. I don't know that the Falcons are now going to trade Matt Ryan, and I don't know that the Steelers would want to go from Ben Roethlisberger at the end to Matt Ryan at the end.
Are the Steelers, having said that, are the Steelers actually in a position where if they have a quarterback that they don't have to pay yet, you know, like all these guys that we're mentioning here that make a lot of money, are they better equipped to rebuild with a younger, inexpensive quarterback where they can shore up all the other positions that need to be shored up? And they've got tons of them.
Well, I can tell you this, and I've reported this at various points in time this season. They're doing a ton of work on this quarterback class. And if they identify someone who they think can be a future winning quarterback with the Pittsburgh Steelers, doesn't mean week 1, 2022, doesn't mean week 8, 2022. But if there's someone who they see the potential to be the steward of this franchise from the quarterback position for the next, 10 years or whatever, if their evaluations lead them that way, they're going to do that because that is the biggest overarching priority for the entire franchise this offseason is to secure that type of a player, ideally, to your point, young and cheap and someone we can groom and develop. And if there has to be a Band-Aid portion to get us there, if there has to be a bridge quarterback to get us there, whether he's on our roster right now or whether he's somebody in this Gardner Minshew, Mitch Trubisky, like that tier of guys, and there will be guys in that tier, Teddy Bridgewater, do they go that route? and try to bring somebody in who has some experience, who can maybe keep them competitive while they, because they still do have this defense, and in a perfect world, be developing the next man up.
Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. Jason Lockenfora, Odyssey NFL insider. Well, answer me this in that vein, and I know that the game tape is all in, even though the individual workouts and things haven't happened yet, nor has the combine. Where do people put Kenny Pickett that you've talked to in terms of how, if they like him, if they think he can be that guy that can play for a decade?
He's in a cluster of guys, 5 to 6 to 7, depending on who you talk to, who will get a lot of attention, and they'll be, you know, the first quarterbacks to go. The question is how quickly and where. Look, there's a lot that people like about him, his makeup, his production. Does he have absolutely positively the ideal build, especially when you look at Steelers and what they want their quarterbacks to look like? Maybe not. But look, they're going to end up going higher than they should because of the realities of the position and supply and demand never quite adding up. I think 5 probably end up going in the first round, and the run on them, you know, probably starts somewhere. You know, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 picks into the draft, and you'll see probably 3 of them go in the top half of the first round. Again, even though the cold hard evaluations would say no, the reality is if you pass on them in that region, somebody else is taking them, and it, you know, now you're gambling on them falling to you, or moving up to the back end of the first round, which people will do, and that's how I think we'll get to 5 or 6. In what order, I couldn't tell you right now, but I would say that the single biggest issue right now in the scouting community regarding this quarterback class is Carson Strong's medicals and how comfortable you are with them, because I've talked to at least 3 people whose careers are heavily invested in finding a quarterback in this draft, and they all say the same thing, that if that kid had had the body of work, if he'd been able to play, if he'd continued on the arc that he seemed to be on, because there's so much clay to mold there, he would be the guy. But because of multiple procedures on his knees, he's now the one who's kind of shaded in gray, because your medical team's going to be your guide on this thing.
Jason Lockenfora, Odyssey Sports NFL insider with us here on the Fan Morning Show. For years, Jason, the Steelers wide receiver depth chart has been a strength of their roster, but it feels like with Deontay Johnson, not just the way he performed the last couple of weeks, but with him approaching the final year of his contract, we're still not quite sure what we got in Chase Claypool. And then beyond that, it's, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster hitting free agency again, for whatever that might be worth for him. What's the view you think from around the league as to where the Steelers sit at wide receiver?
Well, the thing about it is they keep finding them, right? So it's something they do exceedingly well. And in a league that has become increasingly pass-happy, their sort of ability to moneyball this thing, to find tremendous value in spots where either other teams have passed on this kid multiple times, or, you know, you're just getting tremendous productivity based on where he was drafted, you know, outside of the first couple rounds. I don't know that they've lost that special sauce, you know, so I think you need to factor that into your equation. Like, it's not like they can't replenish quickly. I don't know. Juju's market last year wasn't what he thought it was going to be. Is it going to be much better or different this year? Now you could say, well, the cap, and I get all that, and the gambling money's pouring in, and it only takes one team. Sure. But he certainly didn't have the ideal prove-it season. And I think the other thing you've got to factor into this as well, guys, is, I mean, look, we all know what Ben is, right? What he's been, and he's gotten the send-off that, he's gotten every bit of the send-off he could ask for. But, like, just go back and watch these games, what these dudes are doing, catching balls in high traffic all the time, you know, within 8 yards of the line of scrimmage, knowing they're going to get blown up. Like, you're playing football games where he's throwing the ball less than 3 yards per attempt in the NFL. That happened. Like, that ain't real fun. Like, that's not necessarily, you know, that. They weren't, like, beating people downfield and, you know, having multiple guys get vertical and, oh, you feast now and I'll feast later. I mean, everything's a struggle. Everything's a medicine ball. So I think, you know, you got to factor that in the equation as well. Like, can they, if they're running a big boy offense and they are pushing the ball downfield more and it's not coming out in 2.2 seconds, come hell or high water, what might they have looked like, and what might their development look like?
Jason, does this no losing season thing, and you know they made the playoffs the last two seasons, and of course got blown out. But does that mask maybe in the Steelers' own eyes how far away they are from being a legitimate contender?
Well, look, to do what they've continued to do is amazing. Like, this isn't some fugazi, like when the Ravens had their stupid 100 rushing yards thing, and then you know they got cheap and got it anyway against Denver, and like who cares? Like, you're talking about entire seasons. You're talking about stacking and season after season after season where no one beats you more than you beat them. That's pretty damn impressive. So now, are they close to the mountaintop? No, I don't think they're on the cusp of a Super Bowl. They've got the type of macro level questions they haven't had to deal with for the better part of two decades. But I also think they got a lot of really smart people there who have proven to be able to solve a lot of problems and keep that team in contention. So do I think within the next couple of years you're necessarily going to see them, you know, on the short list of the teams that have the top 6, 7, 10 best odds to win a Super Bowl in Vegas? Probably not. But could I – dude, they – the Duck Hodges year, you know what I mean? They're still playing games that mattered in December. Do I think they're still that outfit? I do, but I think they and the Ravens are kind of clustered in a bit of they kind of have the same issues right now where – you look at their talent and their blue chip players, and you compare. Cleveland is like they got their faults, but you can't tell me they don't have good football players there. And Cincinnati's got a ton of them. And if they have another offseason like they did last year, forget about it. So I think that they're looking up from a talent standpoint at some critical areas in a way that they haven't in a long time. But I think they have the institutional fortitude and the culture and all those sort of intangibles to continue being a relevant football team while they try to find, you know, the next long-term solution at quarterback, and while they continue to sort out that offensive line and deal with some of those things.
Before we let you go, last thing. Of all the possible scenarios headed into the game the other day, did you have on your dance card Buffalo just destroying New England?
Well, I did. I did, and it was one of my best bets. And I wrote in my column that I think there is some serious blowout potential here. If Buffalo has a good first quarter, look out, because the Patriots are going to fall apart. And they did. And defensively, the last 5 weeks of the season, once Matt Judon stopped looking like a defensive MVP, their whole defense cratered. They're getting zero pressure. You know, Uche and Vinovich, they're nobodies. So they weren't getting pressure. They were getting leaky against the run. You know, Barrymore was really the only guy up front who was showing up. And if you don't want to let J.C. Jackson beat you, great. Just don't throw the ball over there. There's plenty of other parts of that defense you can exploit. And so, did I think it was going to be historical? Like, they're never going to punt and they're never going to get stopped. It's touchdown, 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 kneel down. I didn't know it was going to be that, but I thought it could get out of hand and get out of hand fairly quickly.
Jason, we appreciate it. As always, we will chat again soon.
You got it, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Jason.
Great stuff. That was Odyssey NFL insider Jason LaConfora. His insider call is brought to you by Driveway.com. Head to Driveway.com today. Shop more than 25,000 new and used cars in Driveway's nationwide inventory and check it out. He does a podcast with Baldy's Breakdowns. You could check that out. Jason, big, big thanks to him. Big, big fan morning show. Major announcement, 9:45 today. Major announcement.
Hey, you know BetQL's been helping you all football season to make smarter bets, and now they've got a chance for you to win cash. Their Giving Props contest started last weekend. Doesn't mean it's too late to get in on it, though, and it's free to play at BetQL.com/props. You pick the 10 props from this weekend's games. The person with the most correct picks wins $2,000, and just by signing up, you're automatically entered to win a random grand prize drawing for $10,000. Again, betql.com/props. Speaking of making picks, I've almost solidified my elimination from first place in our picks contest.
Well,
but
you
we've
may
got
be
a race.
Saved, though. Okay, go with what the records are, and then okay. I'll tell you why you may be saved.
So you and Matt are tied in first place.
Well, man.
50, 42, and 1.
Pretty good against
that's,
the spread.
That's
terrible.
Real good.
That's very good,
that's
yeah.
Real good.
Jim is 45-47-1.
Not good.
I am 43-49-1.
Not good.
We've only got seven games left now.
Yeah, with the Super Bowl included?
Four divisional round, two conference championships, and the Super Bowl.
Here's why you may be saved. I heard Starkey last week talking about how his injury doesn't allow him to hit a driver. He's just able to putt at this point and maybe chip a little bit.
So it might be miniature golf?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. In which he Scallies. Said, but I've quickly learned how important putting is because it's all I've been able to. So I've become a really good putter.
Oh.
And Pomp was like, well, okay.
You know, in between breaks, he goes back That's in the hallway said. Back here and putts.
But he said Mahler has office. Stolen the golf club or something. Took the
what?
Golf club.
He did. He brought it back, though.
That's That was the word.
What did he take it for?
Well, Starkey's the... He's the Maybe master was of his. Stealing clubs.
Oh, it was his.
No, it might have been.
Oh, it might, okay, okay.
Starkey,
fair.
That Starkey's kind of like, well, somebody took the community thing. Well, it wasn't yours.
It wasn't the community thing.
You know,
it was his.
Right. So I don't know, but you may be saved if he can't get. He's got some rehab to do. He's got to see Dr. Bradley. About
if Starkey's not up for golf in the spring, I will say this: if I finish last, I'll just take the four of us out. How about that? We have a fam morning show golf outing. That's just the four of us together.
No, I'm not playing golf with Starkey unless I am absolutely
forced to. No,
no,
I'm saying,
to.
No, I'm saying, means, I'm saying the four of us.
Oh, yeah, yes, yeah, that's yes. fine.
If yeah, Starkey can't golf.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, yeah, yes. That oh, okay. No, I thought...
Because there's still got to be a payoff for the loser, right?
Right, like, right.
You can't just get out of it because Starkey gives up golf.
No, I got it. No, I'm good with that, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought you were rankling into me. You know, I thought it was some sort of
you recoiled
this was
so
some
quickly.
Wily Coyote stuff that you were getting me into. Painting you were painting man. That tunnel on the rock.
He actually Bang, he was kind right of fun it. To play with. It really was.
Okay.
I mean, I
speak for yourself.
I met with him a couple times.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fresh off a Louisville victory, 65-53. Panthers, Pitt basketball. They take on Virginia. 9 p.m. tomorrow night here in Pittsburgh, and we welcome in the coach of Pitt, Jeff Capel, joins us here on the Fan Morning Show. Jeff, a very good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
We are great. Thank you so very much. Take us through what you learned, that crazy end game situation, early December, first ACC game, that game against Virginia. What do you take into this one from that one?
Well, we have to play 40 minutes. I thought we fought and put ourselves in a great position where we had an opportunity to win the game, but we weren't able to finish. I thought in that game, I don't think it came down just to the last few possessions. Certainly that's how we lost it, but there were about 10 possessions in that game of 50-50 balls that I think we did not get any of them, and I think they scored on 8 of them. And so in those areas, that's where we have to be better. We talked about that afterwards. We have to be able to finish possessions with the basketball. If there's a loose ball, we have to be able to get the basketball. We were close, but it wasn't good enough. And hopefully we've learned from that. And if we're in that situation again, hopefully we can finish.
What's the delicate balance, or how do you strike the delicate balance, Jeff, I guess, between confidence and overconfidence when you get a fairly comfortable conference win against Louisville, when you guys have been scratching and fighting and clawing in all of these single and possession games where everything's come down to the wire seemingly?
Yeah, well, we have no reason to be overconfident. I mean, that's just like that. That would be silly. That would be stupid. We have to understand constantly the things that we have to do to put ourselves in positions to win basketball games. And that's attention to detail with the scouting report, understanding personnel, and understanding how to execute the game plan that we go into each game, you know, with an idea of what we want to do, how we want to attack, how we want to, you know, how we want to defend. I thought the Louisville game was the best that we had done this far of really understanding that and executing that. And hopefully what that does is that it gives us, you know, confidence and gives us, you know, some understanding that these are the things that are necessary in order for us to win.
Has John Hughley, not necessarily a go-to guy, Jeff, but it looks like he's even gotten better. The better the competition, the better he's played.
Well, you know, he's done some really, really good things. I mean, I look at John like a freshman because he only played 7 games last year and he was away from us for months. And what I mean away, he wasn't able to work out, wasn't able to practice. We weren't able to do anything with him. And so really his training with us started back in June. And so all of these things that have happened this year have been learning experiences for him. The ups and the downs, like he doesn't really have a reference point from last year because his season was so short and incredibly disjointed. And so he's really played well lately. We need him to play at a high level. We need him on the court. We're a different basketball team when he's off the court for us. He's a guy that draws a lot of attention. And not only, you know, is he able to score, but he's able to open up some areas of opportunities for other guys. So he's a really important guy for us. I still think he has a large ceiling to continue to grow. And we're going to try to push him each day to be the best version of him that he can be.
I ask off-the-wall questions, Coach. I'm going to ask another one here because it's kind of like what I do, I guess. But you've told me a bunch of times and told us a bunch of times about how young kids are resilient and they come together through COVID and they look to each other for support. What has Kenny Pickett done to instill some sort of excitement around that athletic department? And what have your interactions and your kids' interactions been with him?
Yeah, I haven't really had many interactions with Kenny at all. I mean, it's difficult because, you know, where they are and where they practice is completely different from where we are. It's like on the other side of town. And so the only time I really see Kenny or saw Kenny was on Saturdays. As far as my guys, I don't know because they don't talk to me about what they're doing away from the gym. And I'm not sure I really want to know everything they're doing away from the gym. But, you know, Kenny's a guy from everything I've heard from Coach Narduzzi, from the people around the football program. It's just been amazing to listen to the stories of how much he grew, not only as a player, but as a leader, and how serious he was this year about leadership, about holding himself accountable, but more importantly, holding the people around him accountable. You know, how much he poured into wanting to learn as much as he possibly could from Coach Whipple, from the coaching staff, and everything about their offense. I've had the great fortune of being around some really talented, special young people, whether it was when I was at Oklahoma, Blake Griffin, a lot of the guys I had at Duke, my experiences with USA Basketball. And the one thing I've learned is that the really special guys, the guys that have it, they never want to look bad. And so they want to learn as much as they possibly can. They want to know as much as they possibly can. They want as much information, and they want to be coached hard. And that's everything that I've heard about Kenny. I think that's why he was able to have such great success, and understanding that in order for him to have the success, the team had to have success, and they did that. And so I'm happy for him, man. I'm incredibly, incredibly happy for him. And he's been a great example, you know, to our athletic department and really to all young athletes in general of, you know, it's a process. It takes work. Sometimes you got to allow these kids to grow. Sometimes they have to go through some things and things like that. And you know, it's easy to quickly judge these young people and to make, you know, assumptions and assertions about them. But they're young, they're growing, they're going through a lot, especially going through this pandemic. And I'm really, really happy for him and the success that he had.
Pitt head coach Jeff Capel with us here on the Fan Morning Show. What have you seen from some of the young guys who I would imagine will grow into more senior leadership roles next year that tells you that this year, even if the results haven't always been exactly what you've wanted, that the process is working?
Well, I feel good about the process. I know we're getting better, and that's been my biggest thing. We've had a lot of things happen this season. The team that we thought that we were going to have, we didn't have it 3 days before we played. We had to try to adjust on the fly. Once games start coming in November, they come very quickly, and so there wasn't much time for us to practice and to readjust. We had to do that on the fly. And so I've seen us get better. I know we're getting better. I know we're improving. I feel good about where we are. I feel good about the process. Certainly, I wish our record was better, and I wish a lot of these close games. I wish we would have, you know, maybe blocked the shot or got the rebound against Minnesota or gotten a rebound late against Virginia or, you know, blocked the shot against Prentice Hub, against Notre Dame, you know, all those things. I mean, there's no one that wants it more than me or our players. But I've said this over and over. It would have been very easy for us, for the guys in my program, when Nike went out, when Ithiel's situation happened, when we lost the first two games, especially the first game at home, it would have been easy for us to give in, to point fingers, to not show up. But this team has shown up every day. They've had a really good attitude there. They've worked really hard. They've been receptive, you know, to teaching, to learning, to coaching. And I feel good about where we are. I feel very, very positive. You know, we have really one senior, and that's Mohamedou Gueye. That won't be back with us next year. Again, you never know because of this transfer portal and the nature of college athletics now. But I feel good about our core. We're going to add some really good pieces in recruiting as we go forward. And, you know, we'll use every opportunity. And I've been a big believer in this. Every opportunity is an opportunity to get better, to grow, and to learn. And we've certainly done that this year. We have a lot of season left. We're excited about it, and hopefully we can play well against Virginia tomorrow night.
Go get them tomorrow night. Late night start, 9 o'clock. Jeff, we thank you so very much. We'll chat soon.
Okay, guys. Appreciate you.
All right.
Thanks, Jeff.
Really,
thanks, Jeff.
Really good stuff, as always. Big announcement, 4 minutes or so from right now. Today's epic ending presented to you by New Flow Men's Health and by Pittsburgh Pain Management. Gigantic Fan Morning Show announcement next.
It is the Fan Morning Show presented to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family, and 9:48 on your Tuesday morning. Good time for an insurance checkup by the Buell Insurance Agency. And we told you all morning we'd have a major announcement at 9:45. So here we are just a couple minutes later with a major announcement for you here on the Fan Morning Show. And really 93.7 The Fan as a whole and Pittsburgh sports fans as a whole, I think, will take an interest in this. And Jim, I believe the floor is yours.
There we go. Jim, you have an
announcement. Yeah, I was waiting for the fanfare. Yeah, I don't know. This is really weird because I've done a lot of half-assed things in my life, and so I'm doing it again where I'm retiring, but I'm not retiring, if that makes any sense.
It doesn't.
No, let's explain.
Okay, what's going
to
happen?
What's the immediacy? We've got to interview you now to get it out of you.
Okay, Friday. So, yeah, Friday will be my last day with you guys. However, it's not going to be – I'm still going to be around, you know, and I think people know, and I saw some people have guessed this correctly. My wife, she retired at the end of the year, mm-hmm. And we're lucky enough that we've done okay. You know, we're not like filthy rich, but we've done okay, and we can afford to do some things, and it makes sense to be able to take some time to do those while we can still do them because, you know, we've heard stories about people that, you know, you save – well, I don't want to spend this money, and I don't want to take this vacation because, you know – and, you know, do stuff while you still can do it in terms of being able to get around. I mean, it sounds kind of funny, but because we're not, you know, close to that really. But it's going to be a chance for us to do some stuff together. And so I don't know how that's going to work. But
now take me through. Yeah, people care, but not as much as this. Take me through the occasional work that you alluded to then. So you're going to be like a fill-in host, or what?
Yeah. Like, let's say, for example, that let's go fast forward to President's Day, okay, mm-hmm. in February.
Okay.
And if you guys decide to take the day off, then I'll come in. And or if Chris is off, I'll come in. Colin, if you're off, I'll come in. If they want me to come in, right, and this is true in other shows. I famously filled in for Zeiss recently, which yes. actually was okay.
I heard.
It was interesting.
So is the best way to phrase it then, you're going to do occasional work for the
yes.
station?
Yeah, like it pumps off on a Saturday. That would be a nice slot to slide into.
Semi-retirement.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. And you'll still hear me do things for, you know, some friends I've made over the years, like Moon Golf Club and Lynch Golf Sales and, you know, stuff like that. I'm still going to be around. And in a weird sense, like they'll be like, if you guys take an entire week off.
Yeah.
And I feel like doing it, then I'll come in. I might be in for an entire week's worth of fan morning shows.
So your radio host, the radio voice emeritus, I guess, is a good way
legend
to put
in
it.
Residence, Colin.
Legend.
Look at this.
Like when Johnny Majors had that office sure. at Pitt, like one of those sort of things.
Yeah.
You're like John Mitchell.
Right,
at
like
this
Mitch.
Point. Okay.
You know, we're like, you know, Butler may be like that at some point. Maybe Kevin Colbert will be like that. You know, whenever he decides to step aside. So I guess stepping aside, isn't that a right way to put it?
I guess, yeah.
I'm stepping aside from all the day-to-day stuff, and yet I still, you know, I'm too young to retire. And plus, I mean, Linda's going to get sick of me real quick, especially in the winter.
What we always ask in sports. Have you been forced out, Jim?
No.
Okay.
That's another thing. Well, in sports, in our business,
yes.
And that's a question that I've told a few people, and one of the first things I got, is this your call? And yes, it is. This is entirely on me. You know, it's not like anybody's trying to get rid of me. In fact, it was just the opposite. It wasn't like they offered me more money to stay full time. But you didn't really
put it on them either and try, right?
No, I didn't.
No, right.
No, I'm the worst.
Can we play pranks on you now? Now you're primed for that in the morning.
True.
You realize this. You have just become target number one.
Well, how do you figure? I mean, call me up or?
We'll figure it out. I have your guard up.
And you know, that's another thing. I've got
service is appreciated.
Right.
Now look the hell out.
Right. Have your guard up.
Right. I'll tell Linda, don't answer the door. Make sure you look out the window. Look through the little peephole to
now,
see who's
out
there.
People say big power move. If Friday's your last show, call off sick Friday.
You know, the funny thing is yesterday. No, hang on.
Yeah. He's not far off.
Under terms of our contract, what was yesterday? If we worked.
Oh,
it's
you
a
get
comp
a day?
Day.
Yes. Yeah.
So they owe me a comp day.
Look at this. So you're going to just tomorrow or Thursday?
No.
Oh,
thought about
man.
It. No, I'll just basically what I'll do is. No, Saturday. No, not Saturday. No, Friday when the show's over, I'm done. I mean, I'm not going to
totally stealing Ben's thunder. This is. I would love Ben. What if Ben?
Hey, he's been around longer than Ben.
What if Ben calls a press conference Friday at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock?
I'm not covering it.
Right? This would be big.
Jeff will be covering it. Josh Roundtree or somebody.
Bigger retirement news in Pittsburgh sports. Ben Roethlisberger or Jim Colony?
But see, this would be like if Ben came back for the Cleveland game next November.
Just the Cleveland game?
Yeah. It's kind of weird. I don't want to go away. I need to maintain a certain relevance here so that I can still, you know, get into charity golf outings and stuff like that. So
you're just going to do commercials here and there?
I will represent the station at your charity golf outing, if you so desire. But things like that, I'll still be a station representative. I've got some ideas for, you know, maybe some fun kind of videos that we'll be putting up on the website.
Oh, yeah.
You know, stuff like that. So it'll give me.
But
maybe,
it's amazing. I'll host a show here and there, a couple of month or so here, just so I can still get freebies at golf courses.
Right.
Pretty much what you retire.
And maybe the occasional free and free light.
Yeah. Okay.
There you
yeah,
go.
Slip me
if
a beer
Ron,
too.
If Ron ever
maybe
offers.
I'll host two shows.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get another hole in one at some point.
Will you host when Starkey is out with Ron?
Probably not.
Wow.
Well, no, you don't want two 66-year-old guys. I don't know how old Ron is. He's younger than I am, so he's 65 maybe.
Okay.
You don't want two, like, mid-60s guys hosting a show.
Oh,
that
gotcha.
Make any sense.
How about Panther Hotline? Were they bringing that back?
Absolutely not.
Okay, gotcha. Well, it's been a pleasure, Jim. We've got, what's today?
Yeah, we got
Tuesday,
3 days left. That's why this is strange.
Well, I don't know.
And then
you want to give people a little build-up, you know, a little lead-in. You don't want to throw it on them.
Yeah, I mean, so there it is.
There it is. There you great. Go.
It's a wonderfully prepared statement. It was good stuff by you today.
In all seriousness, Jim, I mean, from the first day I met you walking into that old building over in Wilkinsburg to, and I know you don't like all this, like, sappy stuff, that you hate it. You've always been a blast to work with, and I know we'll do like an official send off and stuff.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah, I heard that's gonna
like
be
on the 28th,
not
though.
Friday. That's gonna, well, they're making you wait a little bit to make sure you don't steal anything.
They actually did check
or
to
break
see if
anything
I was gonna
else.
Be around. Yeah, we're not taking off right away, but we're still gonna live here. So,
do you think Tomlin will mention you today?
Absolutely not.
I don't know.
I'm
about
not gonna
that.
Be there.
I still though.
But it's not like I'm. You know, I see, that's the thing I won't be doing. That's why I actually kind of let it slip a little bit last week. Like, the last question that I asked Tomlin was a boom.
Yeah.
It was one of those one-word answers.
Go out with a make. I mean.
Yeah, so that's fine by me. But I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not going to be doing those kinds of things. But I hope to still, when things open up a little bit, I would like to, hopefully, I like doing, you know, interviews with people.
Right.
And not necessarily about, like, Mike Sullivan, not necessarily about the Penguins, right? I mean, just you know,
so
stuff.
So it's pretty cut and dry. Jim likes radio. He likes talking
just
to people.
Like
he's
us.
Tired of us, and he's tired of getting up so damn early in the morning.
There you go. You got it.
There's your major announcement.
No, this is like the greatest. I mean, I'd like to, you know, Craig Riley and SPAC, you know, those guys were great in terms of basic. It sounds anyway, and maybe this won't last. I can do when they ask me to do something and I don't want to do it, I'll just say, no, sorry, I can't
like
make
Ben.
It.
I'm bigger than the organization. I get to do what I want to do. I'll work, but on my terms.
It's Ben.
It's a lot like Ben.
It's Ben telling the Steelers, hey, let me know when the Browns and the Jaguars are on the schedule.
Well, it's our pleasure and it's our listeners' pleasure, that's for sure, Jim. Yes. So we got the rest of the week with you and then we'll figure it all out, all right?
Yeah, we will. We'll have some fun.
All right, perfect. All right.
There you go.
So that was Jim there.
So I'm going away, but I'm not going away. It's weird.
Perfect.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.